please do be seated and let me welcome you very warmly to the first of our Carols by Candlelight here at St. Peter's Fulham for this year. After the service, we'll be serving mulled wine and mince pies through in the church hall, so please don't go rushing off after the service if you don't have to. But before we get to that, there's much to enjoy this evening. And to help with our enjoyment of that, if you haven't done so already, could I ask you just to check your mobile phone is turned off, turned to silent. After our first lesson, the service will continue unannounced. We will stand for the carols and remain seated for the lessons and the choir performances. Stephen Shepherd now has our first reading for us.
The first lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 11, starting at verse 1. And a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the bread of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist.
And ransom captive Israel. The second lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Oh, The fourth lesson is taken from Luke, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Lesson is taken from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. lesson is taken from Luke chapter 2, starting from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out of the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Haven't the choir served us fantastically so far this evening? Why don't we show our appreciation for the St. Peter's Christmas Choir? I want to begin this talk with a mother-in-law joke, which I know perhaps is a risky opening gambit and maybe somewhat unwelcome if you are here with your mother-in-law or here as a mother-in-law. But to clarify, this is a joke from my mother-in-law, not about my mother-in-law. This is the card that she sent me this year for Christmas. Directions: arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, brought practical gifts, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and there would be peace on earth. It's very PC, and it's actually quite funny. And let's face it, those things don't normally go together very easily. But nobody wants Christmas modernized or sanitized by political correctness. Regardless of how much we personally believe the story. Most of us want that same familiar story year after year of angels and shepherds watching their flocks by night, of Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger, of wise men traveling from afar following a star. We want the wise men to have totally impractical gifts for a baby: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. At least two of those are actually poisonous if you eat them. It's all part of the celebration of Christmas. Now, of course, not everyone celebrates Christmas, but for those of us who do, how we celebrate and what we celebrate are important to us. Christmas is a significant marker in our lives. We remember years and events by Christmases, much like holidays. And we all have family Christmas traditions that we honor and cherish and think are entirely normal. I vividly remember the dismay conveyed to me by a newly married husband who discovered at his first Christmas with his wife's family that their Christmas family tradition was opening the presents on the parents' bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he had to join in with the family. Well, there's a good test of a relationship with your mother-in-law, jumping into bed with her on Christmas morning, along with the rest of the family. How we celebrate and what we celebrate are important to us. Yes, there is the religious part of Christmas. Here we are in church for a carol service. But for most of us, that is only a part of something much bigger that we're celebrating at Christmas time. Let me suggest four things to you that, regardless of our religious beliefs, four things that I think most people would regard as central to their celebration of Christmas. The first is wonder, or awe, or magic even. We want and we look for and we hope to experience something wonderful, something magical at Christmas, even if we have to work really hard to generate that wonder, even if we have to pay through the nose for it. I don't know if you've been along to Winter Wonderland this year. It is unbelievably popular and unbelievably expensive. £94.50, and that includes a £7 online booking fee, if you want to experience all the attractions of Winter Wonderland, not just the ice rink or the big wheel, but the circus, the ice bar, the magical ice kingdom, and the Sooty and Sweet puppet show. If you have been to Winter Wonderland, then you'll realize automatically they've photoshopped all the people out of the ice rink picture. It is the safest place in London to ice rink, because if you fall over, you cannot actually hit the ice due to the number of people surrounding you. We pay the money. We endure the crush because we want wonder at Christmas. Maybe that's what's brought you along this evening to this carol service: wonder. But what if that first Christmas, the sky above the hills around Bethlehem really did fill with angels announcing the birth of God's Son? What if God himself, our Creator, took a momentous step of coming from heaven to earth to enter into his creation as a helpless human baby? What if that event really was the pivotal event of all human existence? And what if that was part of what we are celebrating at Christmas? Well, then the wonder that we seek, that we yearn for at Christmas, would be vast indeed, unfathomable, big enough to entirely captivate and enchant us, not just for Christmas, but for the whole of our lives. Wonder at Christmas. Secondly, second thing that's important to all of us at Christmas is giving. We love to give gifts at Christmas. Some of us are really good at it, and we give wonderful, thoughtful, appropriate gifts. And some of us aren't, and we give gift tokens instead. The classic Christmas song that we've been playing in all the shops over the last several months, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, most famously covered by Bruce Springsteen, links getting presents to being good. You know the lines. I'm not going to sing them, but then nor did Bruce Springsteen. Of Santa Claus, he knows if you've been good or bad, so you better be good for goodness sake. But that's not giving. That's bribery. If you get a present because you've been good, that is payment for work, not a gift. Christmas time is a time for gifts, for giving, for being generous. And that too is something that is really important to us at this time of year. There's a saying from the Bible, actually. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And it's at Christmas that we come closest to believing that that actually might be true. When you plot and you plan a present for a loved one, and then that moment when they open it in front of you and the look on their face, you know you've nailed it. That is a great feeling. There is real pleasure in being generous, in giving gifts that others are thrilled to receive. And yet, even that sometimes we find hard to handle. Is it just me, or have you ever found yourself doing the mental arithmetic when you find the present that you have received is not nearly as generous as the present that you gave? You can't help yourself, but you do the maths in your head. We want to be generous. Giving is an important part of Christmas, but it doesn't always work out that way. But what if the gift of God's Son, that first Christmas, really was the best, the most generous, the most useful gift that anyone could ever receive? Not payment for those who've been good enough, but a genuine free gift. We sang these words together a little earlier. The third verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem goes like this. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Not only did God give his Son to the world that first Christmas, he continues to give the blessings of heaven, the gift of Christ, into our hearts, to any who will receive that gift, to receive the most generous, the most useful gift any human being could ever receive into their lives. Not as a payment, but as a gift to those who believe. What if this Christmas you chose to believe, to receive that gift? Wonder, giving. Thirdly, joy. Christmas is a time for joy, for enjoyment, to enjoy lots of good things. And yes, presents, but food and drink as well. We've got warm mince pies and hot mulled wine through in the hall, so please don't go rushing off. They're there to enjoy in a few moments. Christmas is full of great food and drink that, frankly, we would be mad to eat for the rest of the year. But that's exactly what Mr. Christmas does, or did until last Boxing Day. Andy Park, an electrician from Somerset, had been celebrating Christmas every day for 22 years, until last year. Every day he'd eaten a turkey dinner with all the trimmings, 25 mince pies every day. He'd pulled 40 crackers, unwrapped a present from himself to himself, watched the Queen's speech on the television at 3 o'clock every day, on his own. Over the years, he's put on 9 stone, and it's cost him over £2 million. Last Christmas, Andy was quoted as saying, "My daughter says it's ruining my life, and I'll end up penniless, obese, and alone." Well, as I said, we'd be mad to enjoy the food and drink that we enjoy at Christmas all the year round. But enjoyment, joy, is important to us at Christmas. But even our perhaps more modest celebrations can tip over into excess and indulgence and regret the next day. For many of us, that new year follows so quickly on Christmas is a real help to undo some of the damage we do to ourselves. But what if the joy of that first Christmas really is as good as is claimed? Really is the joy that many of us are searching for in life. A joy that will transform our lives, that will never spoil or fade or tip over into indulgence. In the sixth lesson that we heard from Luke's gospel, the angel who first appeared to the shepherd said these words: "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." What if God sent his Son into the world that first Christmas as a Savior for one very simple reason? We needed one. Realizing you need a Savior takes honesty, takes humility, takes a certain amount of courage and self-awareness. But once you've realized that about yourself, that you need a Savior, and once you then hear one has come, been sent into the world by God to save you, to bring you back to himself forever, the joy that accompanies that good news is great, is genuinely life-transforming, as I know many have already discovered in their lives. Wonder-giving joy, the fourth thing we're celebrating at Christmas, possibly the greatest, love. A group of children were asked to say what they thought love is. Here's Bobby, age 7. "Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen." Love is something we want to experience at Christmas, something that we celebrate at Christmas. Isn't that why we drive up and down the country, cram too many people into too smaller spaces in cars and homes, sleep on uncomfortable guest beds, sit on plastic garden furniture inside in winter to eat turkey? Why do we put ourselves through all those hardships? Well, it's because we want to be with family. We want to be with those that we love. And you feel that most keenly if you've ever been away from family at Christmas, not being able to be together. It feels lonely, costly, Christmas alone. And yet, for all our yearnings for love, we know that cramming too many people into too smaller spaces at Christmas has its problems. Arguments, misunderstandings, feuds, even family breakdowns. The 7th of January each year sees the most filings for divorce of any day in the year. We want love. We celebrate love. But it doesn't always work out as we would hope or expect. But what if the love that God showed that first Christmas was real and enduring, was able to satisfy the yearnings of our hearts to be loved, but also able to absorb the mess that we so often make of love? Have a look at this verse from John's Gospel that holds out that kind of hope for God's love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What if that were really true? That God loved the world that he made so much that he gave the most costly gift he could give, his one and only Son. Jesus Christ, born as a baby, but not just as a gift, born to die for whoever believes that they should not perish as they should, but have eternal life as a gift of love. I have four daughters of my own. One has been away at university this time. We're going to love being together as a family again this Christmas. We're really looking forward to celebrating that as a family. Let me tell you, I wouldn't give any one of my four daughters for anyone. And I've got daughters to spare. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What kind of love must that be? So personally costly, so eternally powerful to change the destiny of a person's life. What if this Christmas, the life that was changed by that love, was your life? Wonder, giving, joy, love. They're definitely worth celebrating at Christmas. But what if they were all much better, much bigger than we could imagine or generate for ourselves? What if this Christmas, God's wonder, God's gift, God's joy, God's love filled our hearts and transformed not just this Christmas, but transformed our entire lives? Well, as we consider that possibility, we're going to listen to the choir sing again.
Nowhere. Let's join together in prayer. Our great and heavenly Father, prayer lies at the very heart of a Christian's relationship with you. And there's no hidden secret when it comes to talking to you. Thank you that you love to listen to the prayers of your people, and that anyone can pray at any time and in any place. We thank you, God, for your saving message of Christmas, the celebration of good news of great joy for all people that was first proclaimed at Jesus' birth. What an amazing gift this message of good news is for us. All of us make mistakes, we forget you, we make gods of other things, we take pride in ourselves, and so often we take pride as well in our own abilities. Even our prayers are so often all about us. Yet the Bible speaks of forgiveness and hope and life for those that trust and acknowledge you as Lord and King. We pray this Christmas that you'd be more than a nice story and a few songs, and that we would find contentment and joy in the good news that you offer. We turn our thoughts, Lord, to reflect on a year of uncertainty and change across our world. We pray alongside other Christians for men and women that will lead our nations with integrity and honesty. We pray for openness and truthfulness in political arenas, that the countries we all represent here would be governed wisely and well. We pray too for peace and justice in places where it seems that hope and safety are hard to find. And thank you that although in some circumstances we find it hard to understand, your word assures us of your ultimate control and care in all situations. Thank you for St. Peter's new partnership with Glassdoor, a charity relieving poverty amongst homeless people in West London. As the church here starts to open its doors and provide overnight shelter and food once a week, we pray we'd play a small part in providing help and hope to some of the most vulnerable in our community. Please give Martha and Lizzie wisdom as they work out logistics and begin to recruit a team. And we pray over time that trust can be built to share Christ's love despite tough situations. We remember now those in need of the love, help, and hope that Jesus brings at what can for some be a really difficult time of year. And finally, Lord, as we close, we ask that you'd help us to understand the wonder of Christmas, the pivotal event in history of God becoming man. We pray you'd help us to see how generous you were with your gift. We pray that we'd ask for the life-transforming joy you offer, and we ask that you'd show us your real enduring love through the cross, which truly satisfies. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
One quick thing to say before we sing our final carol, which is that during that carol, a collection will be taken to support the work of the Mandrit Sara Hospital, which is a hospital in the north of Madagascar in a remote and rural part of that country. A member of the congregation here at St. Peter's has moved out to work at that hospital, and if you would wish to support that work by making a donation, you can do in our final carol. Another thing we'll be collecting in that final carol are the visitors' cards that you found on your sheets. You should have found on your seats as you came in. It would be a real help for us here at St. Peter's if you could tell us what it was that brought you along to the carol service this evening, and we can help you in return by connecting you with things that you may be interested that are happening here at St. Peter's. All but one of the boxes on that that visitor card are obvious. Let me explain the one that might not be, which is our Tuesday evening table talk events. It's a series of events that takes place down at the White Horse Pub on Parsons Green. It's a chance to have a think over a drink to see how the Christian faith and the questions of real life connect. The next one in the new year is on Tuesday, the 10th of January, and we're going to be thinking back over 2016, whether it was a year to remember or a year to forget, and whether things are getting better in our world or getting worse. To help us do that, that you can help us and that we can help you, we're just going to take 30 seconds to do that now before we sing our final carol. There should have been a pen on your chairs. Let me give you a moment just to do that now. Well, having presumed upon the patience of the choir, we are now going to sing, and the collection will be taken as the bags come along the roads. Let's stand for our final carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Take a seat for one final time. Thank you very much for joining us this evening at our Carols by Candlelight service. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us. If you have done, you'd be very welcome to join us at one of the other services we have happening over the rest of Christmas. Details of all of those can be found on the inside front cover of the Order of Service. One final thing to mention is a book you should have found on your seat as you sat down. It's our gift from us here at St. Peter's to you this Christmas. It's titled A Very Different Christmas. What are you hoping for this year? A chance to continue thinking about Christmas, to maybe think through some of those what-ifs that Rupert was mentioning during the talk. Well, as we've said, in just a moment there'll be mulled wine and mince pies served through in the hall. But before we enjoy that, let me lead us in a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the good things that we can enjoy at Christmas, for the wonder of it all, for the fun of giving gifts, for the joy of celebrating together and sharing love with one another. Thank you for those blessings that we can enjoy, that we will enjoy. And we pray, as well as enjoying them with friends and family this Christmas, you would help us to consider what it would be to know your wonder, the joy that can come from knowing you, the gift of your Son, and something of your love. Might you help us to know what that would be like this Christmas? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.